This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. Here at Word of Mouth, we prep most of our notes and scripts on Microsoft Word, and for the sake of uniformity and readability, all use the same format. All caps, double-spaced, and a 12-point Arial font. Now, Arial's pretty generic-looking as a typeface, but like all fonts, it was produced and packaged by artists and designers. To be specific, Arial was created in 1982 by a 10-person team at Monotype Typography in Woburn, Massachusetts. We use them so often, it's easy to forget that typefaces are licensed products, and just like other forms of media, can be pirated and plagiarized. Stephen Heller has authored, co-authored, or edited more than 100 books on design and pop culture. He's also a former art director for the New York Times Book Review and recently wrote about the rampant problem of typeface piracy for Wired. Stephen, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
Before we talk about piracy, I'd like to establish what goes into creating a font. I was shocked to read that the Arial font was created by a team of 10 designers. Is that typical?
It's characteristic of font design. Often there are smaller teams, but for something that will be used as widely and as commonly as Arial, it's not surprising that so many people were involved. Typeface design used to be a fairly solitary activity. It would go from a designer to somebody who would refine it to another person who would make it ready for engraving and punch cutting. And it would usually involve three or four or five people in the old days. And even now with the computer, it involves a crew because they're doing strategy and trying to figure out what will work best on a page, what will work best at different sizes, what will work best in different contexts. There are so many places that type now appears, electronic and analog.
Well, your article is about piracy, so to do it legally, how much does a font cost? And in what form are you buying a license? You know, give us an idea of those limits.
Well, before I do that, let me just explain there's a difference between a font and a typeface.
Okay.
The typeface is the content. It's the physical manifestation of a designer's work. It is what you see on the page. That is a typeface. The font is the device that gets it to the page. It is the software, in this case, of what will be used in a document on screen or when printed out on paper. So we've started using the term font as a substitute for typeface, and it's becoming more vernacular every day. But the fact of the matter is they are two different things, and what goes into a font is a lot of code.
So when we're in a screen doing in a word processing program, oftentimes it just says font. That really substitutes for typeface?
It substitutes for typeface, and as one designer once said, we lost the battle in terms of the terminology the minute they called it a font.
So how much do typefaces then usually cost?
Well, a typeface could cost anywhere from nothing if it's all about freeware and open sourcing, to average would be around $200, $300 for a type package, but it can go less and it can go more depending on the foundry that's issuing it.
So who is required to license a typeface? Obviously, we're not breaking any laws when we're using Microsoft Word here at NHPR, right?
You're not breaking any laws. You're getting it as a part of a bundle, which is agreed to earlier by the typeface designer or the foundry and Microsoft. So your ability to use it is quite free. But if you're buying a typeface package, if you want to change your type and it's not part of that bundle, then you go to the foundry and you work out a deal for the license. And that license will allow you to use it on one machine or many machines, depending on the deal that you make.
So when we see at the end of books, there's often a little page that says about this typeface. We're assuming that that author slash publisher paid for that typeface for the use of that book.
Definitely.
So then what constitutes piracy?
Piracy is if you take a typeface, let's say, from a file that is given to you. Let's say you're in that Microsoft letter that you get, somebody includes as an attachment some other typeface for whatever reason. If you take that without permission from the issuing foundry and use it, that's illegal. That's piracy.
So you mentioned in the article that there are two big problems, the plagiarism and piracy. What's the distinction between the two when it comes to typeface?
The distinction is pretty simple. When you're pirating a typeface, you're using it without permission, without the permission of the licensor. When you're plagiarizing a typeface, it basically means you're taking an existing face and making either no changes to it or minimal changes to the little nuances that most people don't even see.
So plagiarizing would actually take some work and some knowledge of code, I'm guessing.
Plagiarism takes work, yeah. That's the irony. I mean, as Jonathan Heffler, who's a well-known type designer and foundry owner in New York, said, you don't learn anything by just taking somebody else's type. You learn something by using that perhaps as an inspiration and building upon it and making something completely different, which is the nature of art in general.
It's interesting because when you place it in the context of art in general, you think about musicians whose work is being pirated or filmmakers whose work is being pirated. I guess I didn't think about the typeface designer.
Well, we don't think about the typeface because it's there. It's so common to in our lives. I mean, I think the same might have been said 100 years ago about music. You know, it's in our lives. It's like the air we breathe. So why can't it be free? And with words, you know, words are essentially free. What the words are formed by, the typeface, is not free.
How did the internet change typeface piracy?
Made it easier. Mm. It's not just the internet, it's just the whole digital manufacture of type. It used to be a very tedious process. Think Gutenberg. It hadn't changed for 500 years, that whole process of making type, which involves metal and cutting and punching and a whole series of things that would take craftsmen years to master.
If you've ever seen one of those online banks of so-called free fonts, well, there's a good chance they're fencing stolen goods. I'm talking about the problem of typeface piracy, and my guest is the author and designer Stephen Heller. He wrote about typeface piracy for Wired. Well, we've seen some big lawsuits in recent years where the typeface industry is pushing back against some egregious violators. Can you summarize for us these landmark cases in 2009 and 2012?
Well, there are a number of cases. One had to do with NBC using a typeface from the Font Shop, which is a big distributor and manufacturer of digital type. And basically, they were using typefaces that were licensed for one machine, but they were using them throughout their corporate culture. That is strictly against the licensing agreements. You have to sign on for one or more machines. So that case went to court. I think there was a $2 million price tag placed on that.
Well, I have to admit, I had not thought about typeface piracy. Do you think these lawsuits are having any kind of impact on piracy?
Probably not. There is always going to be, whether they know it or not, people who are going to try to get things for free or cut corners. That's just the way business is. Save money, cut corners. And when it comes to type, as you're saying, you just don't pay attention to it. It's like, okay, let's take it. Nobody's going to watch. But there are people watching.
Well, you do write in your article about some new possible models for licensing typefaces. What are some of those ideas?
Well, one of the most interesting ideas is that a typeface, instead of a large global license, can be rented like a Zipcar for the use of one project. And then I presume they're going to have to find some way of de-licensing it after it's used. And all of that comes under the heading of, I don't know how the technology works. But the using limited licensing will hopefully encourage people to be a little more circumspect about how they use type.
Well, I guess with the motto of the internet being information wants to be free, are typeface designers pushing a rock up the hill trying to get money for their work?
No more so than doo-wop artists of the 50s in the record culture, in the record business. You know, they ended up having ASCAP or one of those other licensing organizations.
BMI.
BMI come to their aid, and it's a pretty established thing. You know, when the digital music sharing services started, the industry came down really hard. Now, will that be the same in typeface design? Probably not with the same intensity, but there will be, I think, an awareness ultimately that type, like anything else on the internet, I mean, photographs, drawings, any visual material and a lot of textual material is not there for free to reuse. It's there to enjoy individually and perhaps for one time only.
Stephen Heller, thank you so much for speaking with us.
It was my pleasure. Thank you.
Stephen Heller, he's authored, co-authored, or edited more than 100 books on design and pop culture, also former art director for the New York Times Book Review. He recently wrote about the problem of typeface piracy for Wired. You can learn much more about his work and find a link to the article on typeface piracy. That's all at wordofmouthradio.org.